Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our next guest. His name is Sean Callahan. He covers the Nebraska Cornhuskers for Husker Online. Sean, how you doing today, my man?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. It's great to be back down in Kansas City for Nebraska football. We haven't been down here in 15-plus years, so you're going to see a lot of red, and it's not Chiefs red, making their way down here, down to Kansas City.
So let's just start with this, because I actually don't know the story to this. How did this game come together? Why is this game being played in Kansas City?
So it's Cincinnati's home game, and they already had 7 home games. So this is going to be kind of like a bonus 8th home game. They did a 2-for-1 deal with Nebraska. One of the games in Lincoln got canceled over COVID. So this is game 2 of this 3-game series. Cincinnati was going to play the game at Lucas Oil. They kind of agreed on that. St. Louis was initially in play because they kind of wanted it to be closer to their fan base. And it was a 2-hour drive. Well, the Arrowhead folks, you know, decided like, hey, we want to do an annual college football game now every year if we can make something like this happen. And they found out what the price tag was that Cincinnati was going to get from Lucas Oil. It was around $2 million-ish. And Arrowhead folks like, we'll double that with incentive. If this thing sells out, it could be $4, 5, 6 million, which it will be. So for Cincinnati, they'll make probably more on this one game here than they would maybe 3 home games back in Cincinnati, possibly 4 home games.
Right now, we're talking to Sean Callahan. He covers the Nebraska Cornhuskers for Husker Online. I don't know if you have the answer to this. Are you expecting Patrick Mahomes to be there? I know that him and Dylan Raiola have some conversation. I would also imagine, I know Travis Kelce's got a lot going on, but, I mean, his alma mater is playing at Arrowhead. Are you guys counting on them being at the game tonight?
Well, the Chiefs' connections to Nebraska run much deeper than that. I mean, you've got Dawson Merritt, whose father is the secondary coach for the Chiefs. Desan McCullough's father used to be Andy Reid's running backs coach for the Chiefs. And then Terry Braden was the assistant D-line coach for the Chiefs, and he's on this staff. Then you have Williams Winery, a superstar player out of Kansas City, playing his first game as a Husker here tonight as well. But, yeah, then you have the Dylan Raiola. I mean, he literally trains with the exact same people that Patrick Mahomes trains with, so they keep regular correspondence, is my understanding. Have not heard. I do expect Kelce to be here. Because of the Will Compton Busing with the Boys podcast with Taylor Lewan, you know, the Kelce brothers obviously played at Cincinnati, and they're going to do something with the two podcasts. So I do think you'll see a lot of Chiefs players here because of the Terry Braden connection. In fact, when they got here yesterday, Andy Reid greeted the Nebraska team because Matt Rhule and Andy Reid are pretty close as well, and kind of welcomed them in the stadium. They did a 4 o'clock walkthrough when they got into town. So it's a cool thing. I mean, you're going to see Arrowhead Stadium full, and not for a Chiefs game. It's going to be, if not a sellout, like 74,000. I mean, I think it's going to be really, really close to a full 76 or whatever the number is, just based on the ticket numbers that we've seen here heading into this game.
I actually cheer for Missouri, so I actually tried to forget the whole Williams-Winery thing. So let's just thought, why don't we just go ahead and move past that? Why don't we just focus on something different? Let's talk about Dylan Raiola. We were just talking about this. I thought he had a very, very promising freshman year for a true freshman. Are you expecting a major jump from him this season? Because if he takes a big jump this year, we're talking about a Nebraska team that could win 8-9 games and maybe be in the conversation to go to the playoff.
No doubt. And I think last year what happened was he started out really hot. And then you started to see the adjustments. It really started in the Illinois game, which is a Friday night game in Lincoln. First half, he completely torched Illinois. They adjusted what they did to Nebraska, and they had a hard time at that point. And from that point on, it just, you know, didn't click as well in the middle of the season for Dylan Raiola until they made the change. Then Dana Holgorsen was hired in November. He took over play calling and came in and ran the offense for the final month of the year. And you started to see the offense for Nebraska tick back up. And I thought that was a big, big change. And now you have Dana Holgorsen here for an entire offseason. They've upgraded the receivers. They brought in Dane Key. They beat Georgia head-to-head for him out of the portal as one of the more high-dollar receivers added by any team in the portal. He was Kentucky's leading receiver. They added Isaiah Hunter, who was Cal's leading receiver. Cortez Mills was one of the top high school receivers in the country that they took from Oklahoma, who was committed to the Sooners. So they have upgraded the weapons around Dylan Raiola, and they went out and spent about $2.5 million on 2 offensive linemen in the transfer portal that they've brought in on this line. Rocco Spindler as a guard from Notre Dame, and then Elijah Pritchett, the starting right tackle a year ago for Alabama, joined what already is a veteran offensive line. So not only have they improved the coaching around Raiola, they've also improved the weapons and the protection.
Right now, we're talking to Sean Callahan. He is with Husker Online. Talking to him for just a couple of more minutes. Sean, going back in time a little bit, do you guys miss being in the Big 8, Big 12, or you guys fully embrace being in the Big 10?
Oh, there's no doubt. There's a lot of things I miss about the Big 12. And, you know, growing up in Nebraska, I mean, a lot of Nebraskans go to Kansas City. It's just a fun place to visit and go to. And I think for a lot of folks, this is, you know, just to come back down here for a football game, it does bring back a lot of Big 8, a lot of Big 12 memories. And I mean, just how impactful the Nebraska fan base was in this market. I mean, you used to have Kansas City star writers covering every Nebraska game at one point because there were so many Huskers in Kansas City and the crossover. But ever since, I'll be honest, I used to go on Kansas City Sports Talk all the time. This is one of the first interviews I've been on in Kansas City in 15 years. And it just kind of tells you, like, the two markets and fan bases and have kind of divorced themselves since Nebraska went to the Big Ten, and a lot has changed in these last 15 years.
A couple quick questions here and we'll get you out of here. Let's start with this. Who do you think could be the Big Ten's version of Indiana this year? I think in order to make a run in college football, if you're one of those kind of teams, it's a combination of a few things. It takes schedule, talent, and a little bit of luck. Like, you got to have a lot of those things kind of come together in order to do it. We saw Indiana make the college football playoff last year, not really an expectation from a lot of people. Who do you think that team could be this year?
Well, I think everybody agrees there's three playoff teams: Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State. But after that, you're right. There's, I think, room for a fourth. Illinois is in that conversation for sure. They return everybody. You know, I wouldn't sleep on Indiana, but their schedule's tougher this year. Nebraska, I think, could easily be that. If Nebraska wins this game tonight and they have Michigan and Lincoln on September 20th without Bryce or without Sherrone Moore, and Bryce Underwood is going to be in Lincoln as a freshman, all of a sudden Nebraska's in that position, because their schedule, they don't go on the road until October 11th. So this is a Nebraska team that's going to be playing in front of its own fan base for essentially almost 2 months of the season before they go on the road to Maryland. And that's not really a daunting road environment. So it does set up for Nebraska. It's hard to call USC guys a sleeper because they're loaded with talent. It's just a matter of if Lincoln Riley can get that talent together. But USC, they went out and bought two, like, 320-pound nose tackle, defensive tackle type guys for their defense. You know, they've added a lot of pieces to that roster because they figured out it's probably cheaper to buy players for Lincoln Riley instead of paying him $80 million and go through a coaching change.
Are you guys big believers in Matt Rhule? I really loved the hire, and I think he's kind of one of those coaches, and I'm sure you've thought this about other ones that they had. Man, if there's anybody that can get this Nebraska thing turned around, it's him. He's proven to be a really good coach at every single stop, has a pro pedigree. I think really speaks the language that you need to have success at Nebraska. Are you a believer?
Yeah, I think he's doing things the right way, and he's politically aligned to have success here with the chancellor, the president, the governor. All the people you need in your corner are huge Matt Rhule fans, and they've got everything here. I mean, they have the nicest facilities in the country. They opened their facilities a year ago, and you know, everything is set up here to win, and they have great NIL and support. You know, it would be towards the top 10, 15 in the country. So there's no excuse, and the fan base is arguably the best in the country when you can sell out a stadium with almost 90,000 fans. In a state that doesn't even have 2 million people. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And just think about this. I mean, you're going to have 65,000 plus Nebraska fans in Kansas City tonight on a Thursday night for an 8:00 game. So everything you need to win is here. And I do think Matt Rhule understands that, and he respects that, and he knows how to kind of push the right buttons here to kind of make it all work.
All right, I'll get you out of here with these final two. The first thing is Rob, my producer, you were talking to him just a bit ago. We were randomly just watching 94 Nebraska highlights. Do you ever just catch yourself thinking, man, this program used to be really, really good? Do you ever find yourself just going back in time?
I grew up around it. I went to all those games as a kid. I was in junior high and high school at that point. But, yeah, I can remember not seeing Nebraska lose ever. I mean, it was just, you know, kind of like being I'm a Chiefs fan and a Dodgers fan. So it's like my childhood has kind of flopped, where now the Chiefs and the Dodgers win and Nebraska has struggled. And you can't have them all, I guess, win. But yeah, that era, they went 60-3, guys, over a 5-year period. And they could have won 5 national championships. They won 3. They lost one on a last second field goal, and they fumbled away a Texas game that would have, if they won, would have played them for another title. So that was a team that was loaded that could have won easily five national titles in that little era, and changed a lot of college football. But, you know, the Big 12 conference, you know, changed a lot from when they were in the Big 8. There were some academic restrictions that came into place where they weren't able to maybe take some of the partial academic qualifiers and some of the things that they had success with. Texas kind of implemented those changes, and that directly impacted Nebraska's recruiting and type of players they were getting as the Big 12 grew under Texas and Oklahoma in that era.
Last thing here, we love to kind of ask people like yourself this question. Who's the former Nebraska Cornhusker player that just you had to be there for? Like, everybody knows the Tommy Frazier's, the Ahmad Greens, the Lawrence Phillips, but like, who's that kind of like unsung Nebraska player that just like doesn't nearly get enough credit, but every Nebraska player, every fan realizes how valuable he was to the program and how good he was?
I'll give you two. Zach Taylor, the coach of the Bengals. He was the last Big 12 player or conference player of the year on offense for Nebraska. He was an outstanding quarterback, just in a rough era under Bill Callahan. Played in the Big 12 championship game in here in Arrowhead in 06. And then I'll say Rex Burkhead. I mean, Rex Burkhead was beloved as what he did as a running back here and got hurt his last year. If not, he might have finished his career the number two all-time leading rusher at Nebraska. He's still top five. But Burkhead and Zach Taylor are two recent kind of unsung heroes that had great careers that maybe weren't on national championship type teams.
You know what? Don't tell anybody because I grew up a Missouri fan, but I used to really like Eric Crouch. I know he doesn't fit the category of the question I was asking you, but I always liked Eric Crouch.
Yeah, I was there in 01 when he had that big run in Columbia, and it was kind of one of his Heisman moments that year. But yeah, Crouch, just a different era of football when you go back to what 01 was to now and the offense Nebraska ran, the way the conference is built. But that was an elite team. I mean, they played in the Rose Bowl that year and obviously got beat by a very good Miami. It's kind of funny when you bring up Miami. Willis McGahee is sitting in the lobby right now because his son is on the Nebraska roster. So he was on that 0-1 Miami team that thumped Nebraska in the Rose Bowl that year.
Life is just a flat circle. Time is a flat circle. That is Sean Callahan joining us on the show. He has covered the Nebraska Cornhuskers for a while. He's with Husker Online. Sean, you guys do fantastic work, man. Enjoy Arrowhead, man. It should be a lot of fun tonight.
Hey, thank you. I enjoyed it. It's fun to be back on in Kansas City, and it should be a great game tonight. Thank you, guys.